Have you ever stopped to reflect on how your expectation, your perspective on something can completely change your experience of that thing? You know, you go to the movies and you expect that the movie is going to be great and it turns out to be just okay and you're really disappointed. Or maybe you go to the movies and you're expecting that the movie is going to be terrible, but you're going because of your spouse or your date or whoever it might be. You expect it to be terrible, and it turns out to be just okay, and you're pretty pleased. You go on a trip, and you expect that things are going to go smoothly, and then something comes up, some wrinkle in the plans, and suddenly you're late, and your experience is ruined. Or you go on a trip, and you expect that there probably is going to be some kind of a flight delay at some point somewhere along the trip, and everything goes smoothly, and you're pleased. Your expectations can drastically change your experience of that thing. Well, today is Palm Sunday. It's the day when we remember how Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on that donkey and the crowds waved palm branches to greet him. But one of the most critical questions for us as we read that story and as we continue to ponder who Jesus is, what he means for us in our lives, is this: what kind of king do you expect Jesus to be? What kind of king do you expect Jesus to be? Because on that expectation, that drastically changes our experience of who he is, how we respond to him. Well, on the first Palm Sunday, the people were expecting an earthly king. For years, they've been waiting for the Messiah. And their expectation of the Messiah was that he would be this earthly king who would come and restore the glory days of Israel. And the Romans were there occupying Israel, and their expectation was that this Jesus, this Messiah, whether it was Jesus or not, the promised Messiah, was going to come in and sweep away the Romans. This was their expectation. And it's sort of reaching this fever pitch because we're on the week leading up to the Passover, one of their great festivals. And so crowds have gathered to celebrate the Passover, many of them from Galilee where Jesus has done his miracles. And there's been this three-year building of anticipation of, is he the one? More recently, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the grave, an amazing miracle. And so there's another crowd that's still abuzz because of what Jesus has done. As these two crowds come together, it's sort of like this fever pitch of expectation. And so the crowds cut down the palm branches to greet him. Palm branches are a signal of victory, symbol that they would use to celebrate the returning king and armies. They wave them in the air. They shout out, Hosanna, which means save. Save us now. They're quoting from Psalm 118, which is this psalm of praise and victory, promising the restoration of God. They even proclaim, you are going to be our king, the king of Israel. A king they're expecting on their own terms. But the reality is that Jesus is the kind of king who comes to lay down his life. Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. Now, this is the kind of animal that a king would ride on, but it's the kind of animal a king would ride on in peacetime, not in war. In war, he'd come riding in on this war horse. And the great hope of these crowds, the great fear of the Jewish rulers and the Roman authorities is that this Jesus is going to come in as this militant king to overthrow the powers that be. And so it's this great act of courage for Jesus to come riding in on a donkey, proclaiming himself king, but proclaiming himself to not be the kind of king that's going to come in war, that's going to come to overthrow them. And there's a price on Jesus' head. He's an outlaw at this time. He's got expectations on this side and expectations on this. And Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, proclaiming himself king, but refusing to match up to anybody's expectations of what they want him to be. You see, Jesus is not the kind of king who is going to march in and demand allegiance from anybody. No, Jesus is the kind of king who comes in and allows one of his closest followers to betray him. Jesus is the kind of king who allows soldiers to beat him and mock him. Jesus is the kind of king who lays down his life, dies on the cross for the very people who are rejecting him and causing him to suffer. The crowds cut down those palm branches. They wave them in the air. They would lay them on the ground for Jesus to trample on as he's riding into Jerusalem. Jesus lays down his life so that we can trample on him. That's the kind of king Jesus is. See, the reality is that Jesus dies for those shouting Hosanna and for those shouting crucify him. Both of them misunderstand of him. Both of them reject him in their own way. Neither group sees or understands Jesus for who he is and why he has come. But it doesn't matter. Jesus dies for both of them that he might pay for both of their sins. Jesus is the kind of king who comes to give people what they need, not what they think they want. He's the kind of king who gives himself to those who reject him. And so the question for us is, what kind of king do you expect? What kind of king do you expect Jesus to be? Do you expect Jesus to come in as this conquering king, clearing out all of the obstacles in your path? You know, the history of church and state relationships in America is fascinating to me in this regard. Because we've lived in this society where for so long that the state has been generally positive and supportive to our Christian faith. And we've kind of gotten used to that, and we think that that's the normal. We forget Jesus' words that the world is going to hate us because of him. And so when the world does do something that seems to work against Jesus, when the state doesn't seem quite so favorably disposed to us and our faith in Jesus, then we're all thrown off and shaken up, and we're fearful. And there's this political movement now among Christians that we need to fight for our rights as citizens of America to worship the way we want to worship. Well, it's a good and a wonderful thing when we are allowed the freedom of religion, the freedom to worship the way we want to. That's a good thing. And as citizens of America, we certainly have that right. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, coming in and fighting and demanding our way, that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus comes in and lays down his life. And there's a tension there, and I'm not quite sure what to make of it between our rights as citizens of America and our calling as Christians, but fighting and demanding and arguing, that's not the way of Jesus. And Jesus comes in to lay down his life, to sacrifice for those who persecute him. What about personally in your life? Do you expect that Jesus is going to come in and clear out all of the obstacles that are before you? Do you believe that because you believe in Jesus, that suddenly you're going to turn up healthy, wealthy, and wise, everything's going to come up a bed of roses, that life is going to be easy for you, and that all these obstacles are going to be cleared out of your path simply because you believe in Jesus? Now, that kind of prosperity gospel idea doesn't really mesh with who Jesus is, how he reveals himself in Scripture. Jesus didn't come to give to those people shouting, Hosanna, what they thought they wanted. Jesus came to give them what they needed on a deeper level. Forgiveness of sins, new life. Jesus doesn't come to give you what you think you want. Jesus comes to give you what you need. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, new life. So Jesus is the kind of king who comes in, lays down his life for us so that we can trample on him. And in a strange way, we need to trample on Jesus. Now, I suppose that sounds a little bit weird to say it that way, but we need to be the ones who are trampling on Jesus, who are crying out, crucify him. Because if we're not, then that means that we don't understand the kind of king he is. If we're not, then that means we are still trying to get by on our own power, on our own ability to make things right, to be good enough, to earn our way into heaven on our own. Jesus came, laid down his life to pay for our sins, to offer that forgiveness. He invites us to trust in that promise. He invites us to trample on him to receive that forgiveness. He calls us to come and receive that from him. And then this king who has died for us, who has laid down his life for us, this king calls us to follow him, calls us to be his disciple. And the call of a disciple, of his disciple, is to come and die, just as our king died for us. Rather than demanding our rights, rather than expecting things are going to get cleared out in front of us, that we're going to have a life of ease, Jesus calls us to come and die. He calls us to sacrifice our life for others, so that others can see this grace that God has for us. This is a tough call. No bones about it. This is a tough call to come and lay down your life and die. But this is how Jesus lived and died for us, how he served us, giving his life to bring us his grace. And when he calls us to follow him, he calls us to follow him in that same way, laying down our life so that others might see Jesus for who he is. What kind of king is this Jesus? He's the kind of king who gives himself for us, laying down his life that we might trample on him, and in that trampling receive his forgiveness and grace. So today, Palm Sunday, as we wave those palm branches in the air, I invite you to trample on Jesus, receive his grace, and then live through him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. Today, as we confess our faith, we use the words